It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, we're Toucher and Rich. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv or the Twitch app. Follow 98.5 The Sports Hub. Bert Breer is a senior NFL reporter and lead content strategist for the MMQB. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. He was not at the wrestling wedding that Joe Murray was at because someone sent a picture that was just Joe Murray in the background.
Wrestling wedding?
Yeah, so I didn't realize this. We were talking to Joe Murray yesterday, and he was doing his Bankroll Boys segment from Florida, and he said he was going to a wedding. I'm like, we're going to a Thursday night wedding? Like, what the hell is going on? He goes, well, it's for a wrestler, famous wrestler, and you know, they're going to be working this weekend, so they had to get married on Thursday.
She's a local kid, good friends with my wife. She's from Worcester.
That's what he's saying. And sure enough, Fred, we are getting pictures from the wedding sent to us where just right there in the background lurking is Joe Murray.
Well, I know Joe. Retweeting this? Like, can I see this on your Twitter then?
I'll retweet it.
I know Joe Murray went to Mr. Sid and got like decked out head to toe. Well, with the finest in fashion.
Getting married on a Thursday is normally like a cost saving thing, right?
Usually, yeah.
Well, no,
yeah.
But these are wrestlers, like,
even us get, like, me and Emily got married on a Friday, mm-hmm. and it was actually cheaper than getting married on a Saturday.
Oh, sure.
Been, you know?
Yeah, so, Saturday's like, the prime one.
Yeah, yeah.
They have house shows on Fridays.
I mean, maybe they do.
Now, the Ringer, if you're wondering, has ranked the wrestlers in terms of their importance.
In terms of their importance.
Where's Roman? Yeah. Where's Roman Reigns?
I mean, that's already going to be the hot topic on the new or Inside the Ropes from Jay Stu.
Numero uno. His special move is the Superman punch.
Really? I've never heard of that.
Whoosh.
What's the idea in making WrestleMania 2 days now?
Money.
Money. That's what I figured.
I mean, it's got to be. And I guess it was fairly successful. I think they pretty much packed out. You know, if you pack out Texas Stadium, that's impressive. Two nights in a row.
Oh, no, that place is massive.
Yeah. Massive. And you've obviously been there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those few places where I've heard that you walk into and it's like...
It's different than the other... Like, that now SoFi in L.A.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only one that really, I would say, matches just the enormity. Like, the footprint of, like, AT&T Stadium.
Yeah.
It makes, like, the Dome in Indianapolis, the Dome in Arizona, it makes those places feel small.
I just remember
Drew McIntyre could make anywhere seem small when he does the Claymore kick.
The Claymore
kick? What?
It's something they just gave up names. They just
We picked on Jay Stu enough last week, didn't we?
He's a Scottish warrior.
I just remember the one thing about Texas Stadium being that it wasn't ready for the Super Bowl.
Oh, they had to install
seats.
You
know what's amazing?
I remember
that. That's the most incredible thing. When I saw some of the pictures of WrestleMania last week, I thought about how... Like, and I haven't really followed wrestling since I was 13, but like watching
loser
watching the pictures, like seeing the pictures of the stadium, like, holy crap, like the stadium really enhanced it, right? Like,
yeah.
I feel like it made it feel bigger. And then you think about how bad did Jerry have to screw that Super Bowl up that they haven't been back since?
Oh, I know.
Because Dallas is like such a... And part of it wasn't their fault because there was the ice storm there.
The seats were their fault.
The seats were definitely their fault.
They didn't have... they sold tickets to seats that weren't installed
yet. Jerry was obsessed with breaking the attendance record. And if you guys went into that stadium, I swear to God, like that stadium doesn't need any help to look like incredible,
yeah.
Right? There were literally like bleachers, like, you know, like how in a lot of these new stadiums, when you go in, you know, between the decks, it'll be like wide open. So when you're in the concourse,
yeah,
like if you're getting, you know, a beer or whatever, you can see out into the field, right?
Sure, yeah.
So that area, like where you could see out onto the field in that stadium, there were like bleachers like set up like all over the place.
Man.
I mean, he did everything but hang like fans off the roof. You know what I mean?
Sure.
To break that attendance record. And that was my first year at NFL Network, and I remember I had to do live shots from the stands that were like deemed like uninhabitable.
Oh, wow.
At the very top of the stadium.
Yeah.
So I climbed up. I remember climbing up on this set of stands that was in atop one of the end zones, and you could hear it creaking. And I'm like, oh my God.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
that's what Edge jumped off of. When he was doing the Edge of Madden.
And that wasn't like the first game there, right? Hadn't they played?
No, because the rule is, the reason like LA Super Bowl got pushed back a year is because you have to be in your elite, like the earliest you can do it,
mm-hmm.
you can host a Super Bowl is in your second year in the stadium for obvious reasons, because like they don't want to go in until all the kinks have been worked out and everything else.
Sure, of course. They want to be the Fire Fest of Super Bowls.
Right.
Like, you know, everything's
so,
not all ready
like,
to go.
I mean, in theory, like that... All that stuff should have been worked out.
That was a mess. And then I remember there was some snow and people in Dallas didn't have the equipment to
salt
the roads.
Different. I mean, you live there. Like there's a dusting and it is code red.
And they shut down. And because they don't have the equipment for it.
Right.
But that week, like when it's,
everything that could go wrong would go wrong.
Everything
did. You guys were in Indianapolis when like everything, like an Indy did a good job and everything.
They were great.
But
it was one of the best Super Bowls.
But everything went right for them. Like they had, it was like 70 degrees in February in Indiana.
Yeah.
Like Dallas was the year before that. And Dallas, literally everything went wrong.
Will the Patriots ever get a Super Bowl? Because I know that they're doing all of these like updating, you know, with the concourses and stuff, and I'm wondering if all of it is just a failed attempt to try to get the Super Bowl.
No,
there.
Because I think the experience in New York, there were enough things that went wrong, and like New York still got, if I remember right, it was like 60 that night in New Jersey. Like, see, like they even had like the weather go right, and there were
they lucked out. There was a snowstorm that moved in
immediately after the game.
But there was enough that went wrong with having the Super Bowl there, where I don't think they'll ever put it outdoors in a northern climate again. Like, I think that was a one-off thing because if you remember, that stadium was completely privately financed,
mm-hmm.
and the two teams put in $800 million apiece. So it was at the time as large a private investment as there'd ever been in a stadium.
Yeah.
And so it was that plus the fact that it's New York. I don't think they want to open Pandora's box because if they say they give it to Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Which is a bigger city than here.
Right.
They give it to Chicago. Well, then Philly, Washington, Boston, like all every
bigger than Foxborough, you think?
Well,
Chicago?
I mean, bigger than Boston. Bigger than
bigger than North Providence?
I would say so, yeah.
Wow.
I don't think they want to open Pandora's
every,
box.
Where, like, they have. Like every that's city.
But New York is like they can at least say with New York, it's like
New York City.
It's New York City. Like you guys, like the rest. Like
there's craft BS though about it because I mean that's after you did that.
So I mean, I
think he just accepted it.
I think most teams like understand like if you're building a stadium north of the Mason-Dixon line and you don't put a roof on it, you're probably not getting.
We're not going to get it.
Yeah, Seth Rollins, the diving high knee, kaboom. Yeah. If they had the Super Bowl in Foxborough, it would be an unmitigated disaster and such bad press for this area.
It would be
a disaster.
What'll be interesting, though, is whenever it happens that they do build a new stadium here, whether or not they put a roof on it.
When is that going to happen?
I mean, I don't know. After this investment, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be a while.
This move
even
back.
Before this investment, when would they build a new stadium?
But if you look at it, like some of the stadiums that went up around the same time as Gillette are starting to get replaced now.
But the politics are way different then.
The Georgia Dome got replaced.
Yeah.
Right? That was really fast.
Yeah.
So maybe that doesn't count because Atlanta's out of control.
Well, dude, they got rid of Turner Field when it was still a great stadium.
Georgia Dome is old.
Turner Field was because of the neighborhood, right?
I think Turner Field and Georgia Dome opened up right around the same time.
They wanted
maybe a couple years. Maybe the Dome might have been a couple years old.
Turner Field was right after the Olympics.
Turner Field was the Olympic stadium, wasn't it?
The Dome was 92. The Olympics was 96. So it's 4 years older.
But you're comparing apples to oranges here.
No, but there are a couple more. So the Titan Stadium opened in, what, 98? They're looking to replace it now.
Oh, yeah.
Washington Stadium opened in, like, 97. They're looking to replace it now. Those stadiums aren't much older than Foxborough. And one of the things that's interesting, keep an eye on what's happening in Chicago. The Bears bought, like, a plot of land in the suburbs, which would suck because their stadium...
Arlington Heights, right?
The location of their stadium is awesome.
Right.
It's right downtown, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're looking at... They bought this, like... It's sort of the same thing as what the Rams did where they bought, like, a... It's like a plot of, like, an old racetrack, right?
Yeah.
Like, an old, like, horse racetrack. And they're talking about, like, what they're going to do with it and everything else. And the Bears are starting to... The Bears have sort of, like, put word out there. Like, if we're going to... The cost of stadium construction has gotten to the point now where we can't justify it for just 10 events every year anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to put a roof on it. You know what?
Yeah.
And I think with some of this, it'll be interesting to see what happens when, like, Washington gets one, Philly gets one, when they start talking about it here, whenever it happens, if that comes into play where it's like, if we're going to put this sort of monetary investment into building a new stadium.
Yeah.
We have to find a way to justify that expenditure by putting more than 10 events in it, and that's going to mean putting.
I'm not a purist. I'll take a dome. Hell yeah, I'd take a dome here. I'd be happy for it.
You've made your point very eloquently, Bert. But the politics here are much different than the politics in all of those other cities. I mean, how many years did Robert Kraft and even James Orthwine bang their head against a wall trying to get something built around
you
here?
You could do a retractable.
That's not changing.
You wouldn't build a dome. You would build a retractable room.
But how many years down the road? I mean, it's not any time in the near future. Any time in the next decade or two.
No, you got to get that. You
got to
get
building a new place.
You got to get that soccer thing.
I'm just saying there is, like, you're starting to look at that the generation of stadiums that Gillette was a part of.
Sure.
They're being replaced.
You're absolutely right, but they're not going to get a new stadium built in downtown Boston ever. I don't think in my lifetime.
Well, didn't somebody, I was on, somebody, I think it was Beadle, mentioned there's a plot of land by, like, the Boston Medical Center.
Yep.
Yeah, right, there is. I know exactly where that is.
This is the one that they have coveted for a soccer stadium for the longest time.
Right.
It's not far.
And then,
you know what? The
politician stepped in and said, nope.
It's been coveted. They've been wanting it for almost a decade.
I guess would technically probably be Dorchester. Roxbury.
It's the tow yard.
Yes,
it's right there.
I know where it is. Sure.
So, like, eventually... Like, this is how it happens, though. Like, that's how it happens. Like, if you start to see Robert Kraft buying up land there, like, that's the way it happens. Like, the Bears bought this
racetrack.
Remember when Stan Kroenke bought, like, the Hollywood Park racetrack?
Mm-hmm.
It was like, no, we're not even thinking about building a football stadium there. There's a football stadium.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, it's exciting times as we wait for the new stadium. Maybe they will move it. Somewhere in the Boston vicinity, so it doesn't feel like you're at an away game.
Okay,
when you go down to Foxborough,
and that's a whole different thing too. Like, if they are not good if they're not, like, at the level they've been for the last 20 years for a prolonged period of time, that's the other thing. Is it becomes a little bit more difficult for people to swallow the idea of getting in a car, and sitting in traffic, and
I want to play this audio I heard of Dan Orlovsky talking about the Patriots offseason.
We played that yesterday. Yeah, we got Ted's opinion on it, but I'd like to hear Bert's.
Yeah, Bert's opinion on it because the national media now has turned completely against the Patriots.
Is that right?
Oh well, I mean, the ones that I've heard. I still look at you as a local guy at heart, Bert. You're connected into the community.
I am. Man of the people.
But it's very rare forever. I mean, even when Cam Newton was quarterback, you heard, you know, the Patriots, you know, they're going to get it done. And you want to understand they're going to get done. And now you have guys like Howard and Orlovsky and these guys coming out and talking and calling it a disaster. Disastrous.
Wow.
And so we'll get to Bert's opinion on that. We'll be back in just a moment.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
I mean, look at us. We are just three intimidating sons of bitches.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The calls are real.
My television does not work.
The dispatchers, heroes.
What do you suggest we do as a police department? It's not a crime to play frisbee down the beach.
The situations.
I'm hiding in shrubbery down the street.
Anything but dire.
There is a very stupid child on the baseball diamond at Shearley Park.
For one night only, the most befuddling audio from the angriest town in America is bigger and more insane than ever.
There's a rabbit on my driveway. I don't know what's going on with it, but it's just sitting there.
It's Toucher and Rich's Brookline 911 Live.
What is that?
May 13th at the Wilbur Theater in Boston, Toucher and Rich will debut never-before-heard calls.
They were laughing at me.
That redefine unimaginable.
You know, my mother was a very lady.
Plus, the first annual Golden Leaf Blower Awards, honoring the most preposterous Brookline 911 calls of all time.
They threw water on me and I'm wet.
Tickets go on sale this morning at 10 a.m. at thewilbur.com.
Yeah, he's just refusing to go to camp and he's just lying around in bed.
It's Toucher and Rich's Brookline 911 Live. May 13th at the Wilbur Theater in Boston.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the 5 sector.
That's hysterical.
10 a.m. this morning.
That was like the move. Like, I'm not even kidding.
Bird had his. We'll talk about the event. You can't get tickets right this second. I look.
That's what I'm saying. 10 a.m. they go on sale. Yeah.
Bert was talking about how he had his formal in Windsor, Ontario, which is across the river from Detroit. In Windsor, some ways, is considered the worst city in the world.
Now, in college, you do it like we did that for obvious reasons. Only 3 hours from Columbus, right? Like, so it's easy to get to. And obviously, you go to Canada, and everybody can drink as much as they want.
Yeah, sure.
And there are all kinds of options, I would say, in Windsor. Whatever you want to get into.
Did you go to the Million Dollar Saloon? Did you go to Jason's?
Whatever you want to get into in Windsor, you can find it there.
Because the sports page in the Free Press and in the Detroit News was just a series of pictures of strippers that were performing at the Million Dollar Saloon in Jason's. And I remember...
$1 million. Wow. It must be ritzy.
Exactly. So I used to take that... I've never been to either one of them, but I used to take the newspaper with me upstairs. And that's all you needed back then was a little newsprint thing of the stripper.
That is why gambling, that's why like Detroit was the first like city to really have casinos outside of Vegas and Atlantic City is because they were losing so much revenue to people who would just go right over the river to Windsor and gamble.
Yeah. And you're much, 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 much better off gambling in Detroit than you are in Windsor.
Sure are.
Windsor is... I told Bert, and then we'll get into football, but I told Bert, I went to Windsor one time when I was underage to drink, and they had something called like Molson Ice or like Labatt Ice.
And sounded like Steel Reserve.
You're as old as me, Rich. Do you remember when they made those beers that like the whole thing was there was more alcohol
so
in
them? The first time I ever got really drunk was in high school, and it was on Bud Ice.
Yes. Okay. Well,
and it was the worst.
They had Natty
hangover.
Ice. They had Ice House. Do you remember Ice House?
Yeah, Ice House.
You could get Ice House and kegs. Like, that was a big thing when I was in college.
Because you were fancy. Because you went un-Bush. Like, I don't think I had anything but a Bush beer for about 2 years.
And I guess Mike used to call it Fight House.
So I went to this bar, and it was 75-cent pitchers, and it's a bunch of high school kids, and it was Roadhouse.
Yeah.
It was scary, and I didn't want to be there.
No.
Like, and I didn't like drinking that much like back then. Like, I was kind of scared to drink too, and so I didn't realize that it would calm me down. And so like I just sat there petrified that I was going to get like hit with something. And this bar was completely fine with it, I guess. They were just like, yeah, sure. Do whatever you want.
Yeah, and then Steel Reserve was like the next level.
Steel Reserve.
The
dumb things that we used
Steel
to...
Steel Reserve was like 11% or something, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, that's like malt liquor. I mean,
malt liquor.
Yeah, so that was like high school and the beginning of college was ice beer and malt liquor.
Right.
And I can't think of two worse choices for a beer than those two options.
I could only buy beer. Well, I didn't have a fake ID my first semester in college. But a guy on my floor did, and he could only buy from this one convenience store. So I drank, and I didn't really drink in high school. So I drank Old English almost exclusively, because that's all he'd buy. He didn't buy, and then I joined a fraternity, and it was Bush. Everything was Bush, Bush, Bush.
You guys
Bush.
Have some Beast.
Well, which one's Beast?
Milwaukee's Best. Which is not a bad beer. I thought that was a fine beer.
No, for pledge stuff, we had Black Label. Like when it was just like a gross amount.
We had Mad Dog in 40s too.
We had Wine and Cheese Night.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it was Mad Dog 40-40 and Spray
Farm.
Cheese.
Oh, yeah. We were big on what boxed wine for our lunch.
Well, Franzier. Sell by Friday.
If you had a crappy big brother in my fraternity, there was a Wine and Cheese Night where they said, we're having a sorority over, guys put on a suit. So you put on a suit, and the sorority comes over, and they hand you a thing of Mad Dog and a thing of, like, whatever cheese, and you have to finish it in, like, 4 minutes. But if you had a bad big brother, he would have microwaved the Mad Dog.
Oh.
And so it was microwaved.
Well, we pulled that on my little brother when we were in high school. Him and his friends came over. They were freshmen. We microwaved shots of vodka.
Oh, awful. Someone said, you guys remember beer balls? Oh, yeah. That's when you knew you were high-level party.
I remember that from college, yes.
Yeah, but beer balls, like, ran out in 10 seconds.
Right, it was like, yeah, it was like six beers.
They were cheap
like,
as hell.
Ooh, beer ball, it's a party. It's, you know, they try to make it sound like it's a keg.
Right.
But
it was not a keg.
No, it fit in the refrigerator, like, in between. Like, it fit on his shelf. Like, yeah, that's no...
You bought a six-pack.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Like, essentially, yeah. Like, wow, hooray.
Yeah. Beer balls.
Beer balls.
God. We had a beer truck for one day when we announced all our pledges had gotten, and I forget what it was called, but we had a beer truck with like the handles that you just like
the taps. Yeah, on the side.
That you just pulled, and the game was, in my pledge class, we had like 22 kids that no beer could hit the ground.
Oh,
everything was to get you to vomit.
Well, they leave the tap going and you pass it around, right?
Yeah, yeah. You would get in a line and then you would chug your beer.
Yeah, I think we call that like how drunk can you get in 15 minutes or something like that.
Yeah. And good luck getting away with that crap now.
How bloated can you get? What a bad way to get drunk.
You don't
drink all this foamy beer.
You don't get drunk though because you just keep vomiting it up. You just keep vomiting it. I mean, everything, wine and cheese, you just vomited it all up.
And but you know what would happen now is some kid would like tell his mom.
The video of it would get on the internet, and then
some kid would tell his mom, and then the next thing you know, like, I mean, you're torturing him, you're making him drink this beer.
Yeah, I mean, my fraternity got shut down a couple of years ago.
Oh, same with mine.
All the stuff like that. I read the report. It was like, I don't know, it was in the school newspaper or whatever, and somebody sent it to me, like sent me the link, and it's like nothing had changed. It was all the same stuff, but now they're getting busted for it. So.
I don't even think we weren't like dicks that bad. Like everything was just drinking.
It was bad being a pledge, but like, yeah, I mean, that was.
I enjoyed the whole thing.
I did too.
And I think it made you better friends with the people. So I see the value in it.
It's like the same as like high school football hazing was, where it's just like you go through it together and then, I don't know. I mean, maybe that makes me sound like I'm 100 years old, but.
I remember there's hazing and then there's like brutality.
Right.
Like ours was always like the end of the day was you were supposed to have fun.
You went through it like and it was like you're closer with the people that you had to go through.
Yes, because they would wake you up in the middle of the night and you would have to do stuff. There was only one thing in my hazing that was not fun. And it was the last thing. And then in a way I valued that too because when it was over it was like
there was the last night, and then they made us think that was going to last for the whole week, and it's a psychological thing, and then the next morning you get up and you're in.
We had hell week, and we knew what was happening the last that night, and it sucked, then it was over.
Yeah, they tricked us into, like, hell week. We had hell week. They called it help week, because the trick they would play on us was that every pledge class, they would tell you, like, you guys are beyond repair. We need to help you. And so they would start what they called help week. That was actually hell week. So you're going through that for like 5 or 6 days and you're broken down. And then the last night, they were like that was like, they told you that was the start of hell week. So you're like, oh my God. And then the next day, that was that.
So I remember when I went to my school, it was the same one my older brother went to. So I went over to his fraternity. And because he still had some guys that he had gone to school with that were there, and I pledged it. Obviously, I realized really quick that fraternities weren't for me. But during that period, I was kidnapped at one point, and they put like little ties around the back of my hands. And the whole thing was they were going to drop me off at this lake with a beer and a quarter. Find your way home, bro.
Hell yeah, lost in Orlando. We did that.
But while I was in the back, I had somehow finagled a way to slightly pull my pants down. And when they tried to remove me from the car, I beat over all of them.
that would not have gone
and
over
they
well.
Were ticked.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't even want to touch me after that because I'd also gotten some on me. And they were just like, get out, find your way home.
Yeah, our hell week, they made us stay in the basement.
Like, you're not going to hog tie me and throw me in a lake? You guys, I'm going to pee on you.
They would have taken the tie off, but it was all filled with Tabasco and pee. And we had to like stay the week there. And it was funny because you still had to go to class. They made you go to class.
They checked you going to class.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. They were like, dude, you got to go to class. And
they were worried about your academics.
No, because they wanted you to go and go. So you're covered in Tabasco and like pee. And like and you're just sitting in class, and the teachers. And I went to a small school, so like you know I'd have 20, 15 people in a class around like an oval table, like to you know spurn conversation, and I'm just sitting there like.
I mean, I don't know what's worse, like that going to a small school or going to the biggest school in the country where no one knows who you are and just randomly.
But they never made us get naked. That I can say.
That's weird, man.
There was a fraternity that made the kids get naked, and we found a picture of it, and the kid in my fraternity made like 1,000 copies of it and just threw them all over the school.
Oh, wow. Sounds like a great place to be a brother.
No, it wasn't my fraternity. My fraternity.
No, not you. I'm talking about just. Yeah. Why would you do that?
I don't know, but it was all these kids that were naked with big smiles on their faces, and this kid in my fraternity was like, "Okay," and made like a 10,000 like copies of it, and just was throwing them all over the place. I don't know why they made you get naked. I don't know, but nonetheless, there you go, trip down memory lane, and then we will now talk about football. It is, in fairness, it is the off season.
Yep.
Well, there was a big story that broke yesterday, kind of. Two big stories, actually. Two big stories. one that could be the downfall of the Miami Dolphins, finally, and amongst other organizations, the Brian Flores stuff, which we can talk about. Also, there is the almost happened Tom Brady situation from yesterday as well.
Let's briefly mention that.
But the stuff that happened with the Brian Flores lawsuit is fascinating because now
he wants to get to Orlovsky. Right?
I do want to get to Orlovsky. So we'll do I do want to get your opinion on that because the national media has turned on the Patriots. All right, here are the headlines.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
This is Toucher and Rich.
It sounds like the biggest nightmare, and why anyone would choose it, I don't know.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
For me, this is probably the most concerning thing that I have in the whole NFL right now. I mean, there are a lot of things that are incredibly important to a young quarterback, a second-year quarterback. One of, if not the most important, is have that same voice in your ear on a consistent basis. That guy that you're talking football to on a daily basis to help your development. And now we have Mac Jones. And think about this. Like, Mac Jones gets Matt Patricia, who is a, I guess, a failed defensive mind in the NFL. And he gets Joe Judge, who's a failed special teams mind. Like, that is massive.
I don't know how fair that is. I mean, I wouldn't say Joe Judge is a failed special teams mind.
No, he's a failed head coach.
Great special teams coach.
Yeah, right. Failed head coach.
You know, I don't know how good.
I think you'd say, like, the special teams have been much worse since he was.
That's true.
Yes, that is true.
And easily.
Now, Patricia, I mean, there is that Super Bowl so where they lost to the Eagles. So maybe Patricia, that's legitimate. But
I think, like, there's a point that Orlovsky's making that's important.
Yes.
In that, like, this is when you take advantage of the window that you're in with that rookie quarterback. And I think it's fair to ask that question. Why haven't the Patriots been more aggressive in building around him, right?
Now, coach-wise, by the way, everything he said is 100% correct. Because he concentrated mostly on the coaches and not, I think, the players in that.
But I think it's both. Don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. They've at least made an attempt this year. I mean, so, bringing in, of course, Devontae, that helps.
Let's look at it, though. Like, Buffalo, when Josh Allen's on a rookie contract, they go get him Stephon Diggs. Tua's on a rookie contract in Miami, they go get him Tyreek Hill. Joe Burrow is on a rookie contract in Cincinnati, they draft Ja'Marr Chase for him. Like, you look at all these examples, the Chiefs, what they did while Patrick Mahomes was on the rookie contract in upgrading the defense the way that they did and bringing in Sammy Watkins to play with Hill.
Could they, like, be doing more? Absolutely.
The window's there. Yeah. I mean, the window, while you have a guy on a rookie contract, you have to find out. You know what I mean? And you have to put enough around the guy, and I think aggressively put enough around the guy where, A, you're maximizing having a quarterback at that rate, but B, you're also putting yourself in position to get answers on whether or not he's the right guy before he comes back to the table looking for an extension.
Who do you believe is calling the plays this year on offense?
I really honestly don't know. I just you would think of Joe Judge's handling the quarterbacks. Traditionally, when they've been when they moved off of coordinators, or when coordinators have left here, the guy who's coaching the quarterbacks calls the plays.
Okay.
That's the way Bills wanted it set up.
How much blame do you put on Joe Judge for what happened with Daniel Jones while he was with the Giants?
I mean, I do think to some... All right, I don't think it was really his fault.
But the thing is that any way you answer that question, it's a negative. Because if he didn't have anything to do with Daniel Jones,
well
then why is he working with Mac Jones? And if he did have something to do with Daniel Jones, he didn't do well.
Here's what I would say, though. Like, I think a big part of Daniel Jones's issues, they struck out in the draft on linemen, right? Like, and they were never able to quite fix the offensive line. They're probably going to have to draft another one in the top 10 this year. That's not really on Joe Judge. That's on Dave Gettleman. And the offensive coordinator was Jason Garrett, who I think Jason's actually a pretty good coach and has gotten a bad rap for certain things. But if you want to put it on the coaching, Garrett was sort of forced on Joe Judge. Garrett was sort of bringing in Jason Garrett as the offensive coordinator was part of the deal. Garrett's close with the Maras because Garrett played there. So, like, I'm not exonerating him because obviously everybody touches the quarterback and the head coach has a big influence on what happens with the quarterback.
But, yeah.
You know, I don't think that, like, you can look at Daniel Jones and panic because, like, okay, like, well, Joe Judge was with Daniel Jones, and now whatever failures Daniel Jones had are going to be projected onto Mac Jones. I don't see it that way.
Because the only benefit I see to bringing Joe Judge in is if he goes back to being special teams coach. Because as you said, special teams definitely took a hit when he left. There's no question.
Right.
That was as noticeable as it gets.
But I think part of him coming back was that he wanted to coach offense.
So the question is, how important is it to have experience?
I want to be the Easter Bunny, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, how important is it? Because he is 1 year, from what we've seen, he was a receivers coach / special teams coach, I think.
Right.
So how important is it having experience at that? In that role.
In coaching quarterbacks?
Yes.
I think it's huge.
Okay, so this is bad.
So that I think any other
team in the NFL, this would be abysmal.
It's an enormous gamble. Yeah, I mean, like,
Any other team, if we were talking about Cincinnati doing this, or the Rams doing this, or Seattle doing this.
The closest thing I can think of, do you guys remember when Andy Reid at the very end in Philly, like, one of the last straws was when he took the offensive line coach and turned him into the defensive coordinator.
No, I don't remember that.
Juan Castillo.
That happened.
That did happen. Like, he took the offensive line coach, who was one of the most respected line coaches in the league, this guy Juan Castillo, who's, like, you know, coached in the NFL for 3 decades, whatever it is, took him and made him the defensive coordinator, hired Jim Washburn. You guys remember that name?
Oh, he saw a guy at the truck stop, he'd work him out.
That's right.
It's Washburn, he has a hot plains drifter.
And the whole idea was, and I think it's sort of similar to what Bill's trying here, Andy Reid's idea was, I just need to get as many good coaches in-house as I possibly can, and we'll figure it out when they get here. And so it's like, we're going to move Juan over to defense. That'll help us bring in Jim Washburn, because Jim Washburn's then going to know that he's got more experience. And it blew the hell up on them. Mm. And Andy Reid got fired a year later. And
Belichick's going to get fired.
But that's the only comparison I can think of that's close to this one, where you're taking guys and moving them to the other side, moving them outside of what their normal area of expertise.
I mean, the honk thing to say is that, all right, well, Andy Reid was not Bill Belichick. And Bill Belichick, if he's overseeing all of this, you would have to think that the best coach of all time is not going to let things get to a point where it's mission critical.
Right.
Or do you have faith in that?
And I do think, like, the one thing that, like, I think is just at least interesting about this is when I've talked to people about, like, the way that it's worked down there, there's still a lot of stuff that's open-ended. Like, I'm not sure any of those guys, whether it's Joe Judge, Matt Patricia, Nick Caley, I don't think they have a real idea of what it's going to look like in the fall yet, which I think they're going...
Are there holes still to fill?
I'd be a little concerned about that now, because we're, a week and a half from the players showing up, right? Because the off-season program, I believe, starts a week from Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're talking about players coming into the building, and that's where things really start to change.
You know
what I mean? Because now it's like a guy wants to, like,
they want answers.
They want
where
answers.
Do I go?
Right.
Did you see the AFC starter running back power rankings from FanDuel?
That was a troll, by the way. I mean, the fact that Damian Harris was what? They had him 14th or 15th?
15th.
In the AFC?
Just ahead of Rex Burkhead.
I mean, come on. Listen. That's obviously a ridiculous list. I mean, Damian Harris isn't, you know, top three, but I mean, he's not 14th in the league.
No, I think Damian Harris is a good player.
Yeah, yeah. That was because they know it would get a rise out of Patriots fans.
Yeah. But I do
think
that the criticism here is fair. Like, this is a critical time for your young quarterback.
No question.
And, like, you look at the jump that certain guys have made. Mahomes in year two is the MVP of the league. He had Andy Reid. Lamar Jackson is the MVP of the league in year two. The infrastructure he had there, they hired Greg Roman to basically run like a facsimile of like the Kaepernick offense from San Francisco. They did things to build infrastructure and make it work for him. Carson Wentz took a big step in year two. I know it feels like a million years ago now, but he was almost the MVP of the league.
Yeah, he had a huge year.
In 17.
Yep.
And what was it? Well, you had Doug Peterson as the head coach, Frank Reich as the offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo as the quarterback's coach 2 years in a row. So those guys were all in place, and things came undone for Carson Wentz after the offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach left. So, like, you look at where it's worked with young quarterbacks, and generally there are things around him that are – I think it's the aggressiveness in building, right, like building the roster. But I think you're right to point that out. It's also like the infrastructure around him is always tailored to him. And yeah. I think Joe and Matt, like, for all the criticism, I think those guys are good coaches. I just wonder, is this tailored to Mac, or is this Bill trying to think too far outside the box?
I trust these guys, and that's all that matters, is what I'm thinking. They're cheap and I trust them.
Yeah, right. He's bringing back his guys that he knows and just throwing them against a wall.
Well, he's got Patricia, who's his right-hand man, who's his drinking buddy.
He's everywhere.
Yeah.
Patricia.
They were at his brew bro.
And the other, the hardest part about it to me is what you're up against now. Because I think what you're up against has changed in the last 5 years, too.
Yep.
Like, because you have... I think, like, it used to be, like, the teams acting aggressive like this. Like, all these teams have, like... That was the outlier. Now that's literally just your competition. So, like, in the AFC, what you're up against now is these teams that have acted this way. And I think to some degree it's like the ramification of the NFL, right? Like, what the Rams did, everybody's copycatting them because obviously they've had success. But I think what the Rams have proven, and this is where I wonder if the Patriots' way of doing business maybe becomes a little outdated, the Rams are proving that you can take swings, and even if you miss, you won't fall on your face. Like, the Rams literally treat every year as its own entity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's just an interesting way of doing it because, like...
But where will they be in 3 years?
Like, but that's what everybody's... But people said that 3 years ago.
No, I know.
And like and that's the thing is, like, the Rams are showing, especially now at the... And this is like, wow, so the caps are flat.
Are you saying that the draft is less important than it used to be?
I think the draft is still really important. I think what the Rams are showing is you can take big swings and miss on some of those swings, and it's not the catastrophe that everybody has thought
right,
forever.
Because they screwed up on the quarterback.
I mean, they screwed up with Jared Goff, right? They traded for Dante Fowler. That didn't go great. They overpaid Sammy Watkins. They traded for Brandon Cooks. Traded a first-round pick for Brandon Cooks. He was gone a year later. Like, the Rams have taken lots of swings where they've missed, and yet...
But does that work in a city that's not LA? You know what I mean? Like, does that work in a
no? But I mean, the idea is right that you're going to be in this situation where your cap is going to be a disaster. The Rams have managed it. I mean, the Rams have
managed them picks too. Like, that was their whole thing.
Yeah, and I think a part of the secret there is that they've hit on some of those picks, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so like the third and fourth and fifth round picks, because Sean McVay is very specific about what he wants in players, makes it easier for the personnel department to say, okay, we're going to go and take big swings to get stars. And when we go into the draft, all we got to do is go find some role players, right? Like, mm-hmm. And if we can continue to stock the roster with role players, then like, we can take these big swings on stars. And yeah, I mean, part of it is everybody wants to play in LA, so you do have that piece of it. But I think it's interesting because the idea that we've all had, and I, I'm guilty of peddling this idea, right? Like, because I have. And it's been conventional wisdom and forever in the NFL is, well, if you take these big swings and screw up, you're dead forever. The Rams are proving that. The Rams have proven that's not true, which I think has given cover to teams like the Chargers and the Bills and the Broncos mm-hmm. to take these big swings because, like, look over here. Like, if you look over here at the Rams, they've missed a bunch, and they're still able to win on a consistent basis.
It just seems
basis.
Like all of the money and the cap. I mean, everyone says the cap is. It's true. There's never been an offseason where I've looked at what the spending that's been going on and thought that the cap is crap more than this.
Yeah, exactly. And it just seems that, like, if these teams don't have to pay the fiddler, you know, coming up here, then you got to really question the way things are.
Again, and this is what they're up against, right? Buffalo goes and gets Von Miller. Miami goes and gets Tyreek Hill. The Jets went and got Lake and Tomlinson. They took a swing on Tyreek Hill. They brought in Jordan Whitehead from the Bucs.
I know they went Metcalf.
They tried to get Metcalf.
The Browns get Deshaun Watson. The Bengals basically rebuild their offensive line on the fly. The Broncos get Russell Wilson. The Raiders get Chandler Jones and Davante Adams. Mm-hmm. The Chargers get J.C. Jackson and Khalil Mack. That's in the AFC alone. Like, that's what all of these other teams did. And I think it's because the Rams had success doing business that way.
It will be interesting and not great news for the Jets who are doing it the old way. But nonetheless,
the Jets have been aggressive.
Yeah, but they're hoarding picks and doing what they can.
You sound like you're patting like a kid. But you're a nice boy.
No, they took a swing on Tyreek.
They tried to get Chandler Jones.
They tried
too.
Real hard.
Exactly.
Now
Rich.
Run along.
That's exactly
what it sounds like.
Well, that's how you have to talk about them.
I'm just surprised. Like, people didn't want to go work for the ambassador. You know.
Listen, he's very big in Ireland. All right, very good. Well, listen, thank you so much, Bert, as the warm-up act.
We covered
a
lot of ground.
We did. Sometimes you can't talk about football for an hour. All right, that's good stuff. You don't have to talk about football for an hour. But I'll tell you, someone who has to come in is everyone's favorite.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Nick's dad, Mark Jamelli.
He's out in the waiting room. Man. He's ready.
I wondered how you guys were going to top Pasta Joe.
Let's not go crazy.
He's in the hole. He is going to be performing stand-up. Yeah. And all I know is that talking to him for about maybe a couple minutes out there, he didn't tell me what was in it, but I'm smelling a hit.
All right, well, listen, if you want to keep it North End style, I mean, Pasta Joe was in here and lit the place. He just set the place on fire and walked out. But we'll have that for you in just a moment.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.